Hello, everybody, and welcome to TYH, the most professional podcast on the dissident something. My name is Angelo, and with me I have Nike.
Hi.
Hope you guys are doing well, and I hope Nike's doing well.
Hope you're doing well. Welcome to Free Domain Radio. Yeah.
Man, he's not on YouTube anymore, right?
Yeah, no, I saw somebody reposting a clip, I guess supposedly recently, where he's commenting on the amount of audience retention he's seen on other platforms, and he insists he's not bitter, but he does seem dis-cheesed that it's like about 3%.
Oh shit, man! Wow. I mean, I don't know, man.
That nigga shouldn't have put all of his eggs in that basket.
Yeah. Plus, who's putting eggs in baskets?
Yeah, I put mine in cartons.
Yeah. Like my milk. I don't put my milk in a basket. I put it in a carton.
Yeah, we're not in fucking Canada.
Yeah, nor are we in Greece.
They don't have
bags. No, we're just not in Greece. Basket.
We're just not in Greece. Unfortunately,
it's just reminding
me that I'm not enjoying the country of my people.
Before we start reading the comments, which is what we usually do, and that takes up about 75% of the podcast, I'm just going to talk about my horrible Amazon experience because I'm getting older and I want to complain when product is not shipped to me in the right way. So I ordered
for our long term fans. You might remember this bit called the Kvetch section.
Yeah, Kvetch. Kvetch, I don't know if we just... Do we have, like, Kvetch time? I don't know if we had a name for it.
You still have that little MP3?
Oh, yeah, I had a theme song. I made it myself.
Like you had, like, a... Oh, that was original?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's when I used to put a lot of effort into the podcast.
And you gotta bring that back.
Make original songs for it.
When you still had some inspiration.
Yeah, now I'm don't.
Damn, Black Pill be hitting different for Angelo.
Yeah, so I ordered a book off of Amazon, and it's supposed to be new. And that thing looked like it went through the ringer. Like, that book was cooned on at least at one point in its existence.
You showed me a picture of it, and yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It looks gross.
It was just... disgusting, and I could tell that it's new in the sense that it never left the warehouse, but its existence in the warehouse was just like a tortured existence. What I think happened is it like fell and like got ran over by like a couple of their like forklifts or whatever, or just the machinery.
Or it was like a flood.
Yeah, and a flood of just cream on.
Either like a flooding, or just it happened to be at a part of the warehouse where the roof was leaking, and it definitely looks like
there's no
some liquid damage.
Picture is rather deceptive, so it looks like there's liquid damage. There was like a sticky substance on it. I will admit that
oh no,
but it was just dented, and the dents kind of look like water damage. It was like ran over or something by a forklift or some person stomped on it. I'm angry, okay? I just need to complain. I'm going to go call Amazon afterwards and say my family's a loyal customer and we can't,
I come from a family of loyal consumers.
Yeah, loyal
We shouldn't have to be treated like this.
We come from an elite line of consumers.
Do you know how many generations of my family have consumed product?
We were one of the first families to get DirecTV in the United States.
Impressive. I'm very impressed.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the first in the whole United States. We were early adopters.
You got like an Alain de Benoist book. Why don't you tell us about
Alain de Benoist?
Alain de Benoist?
Yeah,
Alain de Benoist.
I just been starting to read stuff from La Nouvelle Droite. They're a new right in France. I'm taking a look at what the French people have to say, because
it's hard to understand sometimes.
No, it seems pretty straightforward.
Well, it is when you read it, but not when you listen to them.
Oh, yeah. But I guess we could go on to the comments.
All right.
There are a lot of comments, so we're going to try to condense some of them. Because, like, for instance, Joey Baloney did 4 comments. And we're just going to take all of his comments and put it into one. When we get to them, we're not going to start off with you. Because we're starting from the bottom.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Logar is just excited. He gave us an exclamation point.
I'm going to assume it's, like, from a Metal Gear Solid. And he's just been
alerted
to our podcast.
And then we got a few comments about RSS feeds from Chuck Neely. And who else? I'm going up. I think Baloney might have said something about that. And Zoomer Man. And White Presenting Sicilian. So yeah, we don't need one.
That's right.
So we got some compliments from Tenacio. It's Ignacio Cortez's cousin. Listening to this podcast is very comforting. It's like hanging with my pool party bros. Based.
We like to give that sense of you're right here with us.
Yeah. Related to that, you know, our sort of the casual nature of our podcast, I'm going to go a bit up. Von Hashtaska says, there's nothing wrong with casual, comfy podcasts, which feel like friends talking. What would be the point of making another TDS or FTN-style political podcast? There are already plenty of those on TRS. Yeah, that would be... It's never been my cup of tea of, like, analyzing what's going on in the news and giving you a good take.
It's not because you're retarded.
It's because I'm super smart. I'm super straight and super smart.
He's actually so smart, he doesn't have time for that.
Yeah. I'm reading Alain de Benoist.
He's reading Alain de Benoist? Yeah, so. I don't have time for your analytical news commentary.
Yes, we need to do metapolitics now.
I'm doing a metapolitics, thank you very much.
Yes, please, let me do my metapolitics, okay? I don't know this comment, I don't understand it. Some Norwegian just said, he quoted me.
Oh, wait. You're not going to read the rest of that
no, I
comment
will.
You started?
When we get back up to it, because I just want to keep it thematic, kind of.
Oh, look at this guy, tying themes together.
Well, I guess we could. I'll just go.
Go ahead.
Yeah, some Norwegian, I think he's quoting me, a bad ramstick, TYH, March 17th, 2021.
I guess that just stood out to him.
I don't know what's funny about that. But
I guess he might explain in the comments to this episode.
Yeah, explain why it was funny. I mean, it is fun. Anything's funny. Like, just taking a random quote is funny. Like, I thought it was a funny comment, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. See, this is when I say that Scandinavians have the most advanced sense of humor, by the way.
I believe it.
Yeah. Firebrand J says, kids these days have it too easy. Back in my day, we had to go uphill both ways in the snow to get to the content mines, where we'd shovel 16 tons of hot takes for 12-hour shifts with only 2 breaks. I don't even know what an RSS is.
I don't either.
I download all my content directly. I have 19 tabs open in my mobile browser right now. Your phone must have a lot of RAM. Update 20 tabs. And Von Hashtaska replies, that's the way real men do it. I also press F5 on them at regular intervals for good measure.
Oh, man, that's very touching that he still F5s for our show.
He's the sole single F5er for our show.
Yeah, it's very quixotic.
Again, on the theme of us being an overly casual podcast, Vishavd Wagnu, Angelo clearly making it up as he goes, talking about his military surplus jacket. I mean, why not?
You didn't have to call him out like that.
That's my job, to make things up as I go, literally. And then Knack of Pigger says... It's apparently we were playing we were talking about Minecraft, not playing, but we were talking about Minecraft, and he said, I totally haven't played Minecraft in a decade either. How cringe would that be? A grown man playing Minecraft, how autismal. Not me though. Lol.
I don't think we were that harsh.
Yeah, I don't remember, like,
we were just talking about, like, when we started playing Minecraft, not that we stopped.
Yeah. No, I think I said that I stopped, like, 2012 or something like that.
Okay.
But, you know, this brings up a good thing. I was reminded of that, that MineCon thing, the MineCon event from like 10 years ago. I think it's about 10 years now. Maybe like 2012, 2013. There was this, like the first Minecraft, convention. And, there's a video where they compile all the cringy moments of MineCon, and it's
I know this video.
Yeah. The famous.
Yeah, to go back to some Norwegian. What is the recommended amount of detonated wham?
Yeah, exactly. Detonated wham. So, what was his name? Super Kai 64 or something like that. He had his like his costume was like like his it doesn't matter what his costume was.
He had his
I can't describe
username on his hat. It was kind of cool. I like the hat.
I don't even know if it was a hat. I thought he had like some like something like holding it up above him.
Well, yeah, like it's.
Oh, is it connected to his hat?
Yeah, it's like he had it on some sort of spring.
Yeah.
That was, you know, on his hat. But too bad that kid could not speak.
What if he's listening to us now? You never know, like, what came of these kids. Like, he's probably, like, what, 21?
That
now?
Was actually you.
Yes, it was me.
Now look where you're at.
So Jonathan Fash, in the same vein, says, TYH is immunized against all critiques. One may call them unorganized, untimely, shitposter. It all runs off them like water off a raincoat. But tell them that their show comes hard AF, and you will be astonished at how they recoil, how injured they are, how they suddenly shrink back. I'm not reading his comment. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't read your comment. And Teutonophile89 is like, dude, that's a good comment.
It is. I like it.
Yeah, and now let's go to Vodhashtaska. We were talking about how, or I was talking about how I thought Rowan Atkinson, is that his name? Rowan, what's that? No, that's...
Rowan Atkinson, that's the Mr. Bean nigga.
Wait, is that... Are we sure that's his name? I don't know for sure. Okay, yeah, sorry. How he looked, I said he looked kind of Arab-looking, or not Arab, but just different.
Yeah, different phenotype.
And then Vodhashtaska said the most Arab-looking people in the UK are the Welsh. He gives the example of John Rhys Davies, or Davis. No wonder he often plays Middle Easterners in movies. Imagine it's like, okay, we got to go to Wales, and we got to find, this is where we can find all them people that look like Pakis.
Yeah, there's this very dork-skinned Greek actor.
Who's your average Greek?
Who
oh.
fell into that?
That was my trackball. Type, sorry,
type cat.
Not even
when you drop the trackball.
Yeah, I'm not even lying.
He gets cast to play Arabs in movies.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
It's like I can't remember his last name, but I think his first name's Jason.
It's like that that singer that was from Wales, like, you know, grandparents' generations in the 60s. What was his name? Tom Jones?
Jason Manzoukas.
Yeah, I think that's the guy. But is the guy's Tom Jones? Yeah, he was this Welsh guy, and he kind of looks black. Jack? But he's full Welsh. I mean, actually, he looks more black as he gets older, because he has naturally curly hair, but like, you know, for some reason, it just looks more black as he gets older. Like, you know, looks like a mulatto, but he's not. And Vodhashtaska also just has some info about learning languages in Hungarian schools, because he's from Hungary. Yeah, he talked about how he started off with German, switched to English. He talks about the unique characteristics of Hungarian. He says Hungarian is an agglutinative language. For fun, look up the breakdown of, okay, I'm going to try to pronounce a very long word. Which is
wow, that was pretty good.
Which is an invented word to demonstrate this.
I didn't think you were serious when you said you were going to try that. But
I did.
I think you're right.
I think this is what trips up most language learners. Yeah, and he's also talking about AMD kind of making a comeback and stuff, you know. Yeah, cool, AMD. And more on language, we have Swamp Creature. Regarding plural pronouns in the West Virginia dialect, the plural of y'all is all y'all.
That's true.
Regarding the expression, that's X bread and butter. My bread and butter is bread and butter. I effing love bread and butter. In fact, for many years, I called bread a butter delivery service. Bread by itself is fine. Butter by itself does nothing for me. But smear a good piece of warm, fresh bread with butter. Ambrosia.
Nice.
Then Ben Matlock. I thought West Virginians said yuns, like Pennsylvanians.
That's if you're like up towards Weirton, which is
the weird part of West Virginia.
It's like a northern panhandle near Pittsburgh.
Little Yankee intrusion. Anglo is, and then Ben Matlock has to compliment me. Anglo is this Anglo is such an albatross around poor young Nike's neck.
He's so harsh on you.
Yeah, you tell him, Nike, ergonomics is a bullshit scam. Was Archimedes' screw ergonomically designed? Fuck no. Greeks don't have time for that shit. They're busy people. That's in reference to my trackball.
That you just dropped.
I can't even speak properly today, which is most days.
You're really dropping the ball.
Yeah. Waylon Smith's, because he's a good Anglo man, says a...
Hold on.
Wait.
Before we get too far afield from language, you're just going to skip over Teutonophile 89?
What did he say?
He said, gentlemen, what would you think about learning Gothic?
Gothisca? I did not see that one.
I don't know anything about learning it. I don't even know where I would. Probably YouTube, right?
Probably not, to be honest.
Well, where else are you going to find any...
Library.
Any...
Like university. Because Gothic is such a... that's true. Like a university library. Yeah, it's... There are no surviving speakers of any East Germanic language, so it's all, you know... It's like learning Latin or something, but like even more autistic, like 20,000 times more autistic. But it's cool. Like if I had free time and all I could do was learn, you know, and do anything I want, I would spend a lot of time just learning languages, but I would do Gothic, you know, I like Germanic languages, but man, I can't do it now. Maybe in the future. I still gotta learn old English. Because this new English is kind of gay. I gotta go back to the old school.
How do you say return to tradition in Old English?
Return thou auf dein Tradition. No, that's...
All right, then.
That tradition is definitely like a Latin. This is before Latin was really...
Damn, prominent. That's how hard we return him.
Yeah.
When you return this hard, you can't go back.
Yeah, and Von Hoshaska says, I wonder which one is more comfortable, the finger or thumb operated version. I have a finger operated version of the trackball. I saw that thumb version. I don't know. It seems kind of cool, you know, because like your hand is even more
very exciting.
This has a nice big marble in the middle. You know, I was playing with it and I dropped it. That's why
it brings out the feline instincts in you.
Yeah. Then Joey Baloney has 4 comments. Heidegger was born around Freiburg, which is right near the French border. Okay, so that's why it looks a little swarthy, maybe. But my grandma is near the French border, too, but she don't look like that, homie. Are Swedish bootstraps like Swedish meatballs?
I don't think so.
Guy Fieri fascism when? Flavor Town is just code for the ethnostate.
Not soon enough.
And sorry to comment again, but there is pretty much no improper time to drink espresso in Italy. Italians will actually have espresso after they eat their dinners. If you really want a Med Max, you take your espresso and put a little bit of grappa in it. Whatever the heck that is.
Mm.
What on earth is a grappa?
Grape? Why don't you...
A grappa.
Grab a bottle.
I'm gonna grab a, grab a bottle and a Jesus, and he comes into me, and he speaks to me. You know how they always put the at the end?
Yeah.
Grappa.
Is that the common thread between Southern Baptists and Italians?
Yes, it is.
there's a term paper in there somewhere.
Yeah, dude. Because that's just the best way to rhyme. Just put after everything.
Yeah, some languages are just like poetry maxed because they end in a vowel sound.
But then it's like too easy, and it's not like, oh, like English when
it's not Shakespearean and clever.
Yeah, when you're English, you're like, holy crap, how did you do that? How did you think of that?
Like, damn, nigga, that's some good verse.
Yeah.
You got bars.
And White Brazilian Sicilian says... Wait, White Presenting Sicilian says...
White Brazilian.
What did I say?
I don't know. I don't know what the hell is on your mind. I'm sure there's plenty of White Brazilian...
Hey, y'all, don't you bozos know you have to have an RSS feed? It's the same one as all the other TRS shows.
No, I can't do East Coast Italian accent. Sorry.
You took offense to our commentary on Meshuggah.
Yeah, don't you, like, we said Meshuggah sound like a Sicilian word, or you did, Nike, the only med in this podcast said it. He's a traitor. You said it sounded like a Sicilian word, and he's upset about that.
I don't know what you want me to do about that.
Fix your language or adopt Greek as your official language, like the old school.
Return.
Yeah, return, bro.
Make Gracia Magna again.
Yes. Dude, weren't the Eleatic philosophers, was an Elia in modern day Sicily, or am I tripping? I'm very bad with that ancient geography. Yeah.
It's all right. We won't hold it against you.
It's all Africa to me, anyways.
Oh, shit.
Actually, this is weird. I was thinking about this. I don't really remember anything before the age of like 6 or something. I have slight impressions of like little things, but like I can't like piece together a coherent narrative about any of those years. But around,
why?
Maybe I'm just stupid.
Okay.
But I don't know. I was thinking like I became conscious once I found Dragon Ball Z, because when I was like 6 or something, that's when I found Dragon Ball Z. And that's always, that was always like a big, when I was up until about the age of 12, that was like the big moment of my life. I'd always like talk about how that's when I found Dragon Ball Z, and that's when I became conscious. I mean, I didn't say in those words, but like,
in hindsight.
Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah. My favorite, you know, you talk with your friends like, oh, what was your favorite age? I'm like, 6. That's when I found Dragon Ball Z. I mean, I can remember stuff from before then, but it's like not pieced together. Like I can't create a narrative out of it. It's just like,
blur.
It's not even a blur. It's just like, oh, here's me.
Makes no sense.
Here's me playing with VHS tapes and throwing them. So
VHS tapes.
VHS tapes. But whereas once Dragon Ball Z came into my life,
Liverpool with my VHS tape.
My VHS tape. Yeah, so I can remember things from before then. Like, I remember certain events. I might remember, like, a little bit of, like, a birthday. But again, I can't piece together, like, a coherent, like, narrative or, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's, like, when my life started. And I think it's kind of weird how I associate, like, me coming to consciousness with a product.
I've heard of foundational myths, but this is ridiculous.
Dude, Dragon Ball Z was my foundational myth.
But it's, like, your personal foundational myth, not civilizational. It's like you didn't
Angelo's civilization
as like a self self-referential entity until you discovered, you know, yourself through Dragon Ball Z.
You know, I'm being slightly hyperbolic, like I didn't literally first come to consciousness then, but I for a long time in my life I'd always reference that point when I found Dragon Ball Z as like the biggest event of my life. And that's weird how, like, a product from Japan was such a World Autism Month, defining moment of my life. And
yeah.
I'd always like say, yeah, my favorite year was when I was 6 and I discovered Dragon Ball Z on Toonami, and I started, I would like find a way to find like Japanese toys online that weren't available in the US, and like episodes that weren't available in the US, and I would order them, you know, I convinced my mom, you know, like that was such a big part of my life.
Interesting.
You don't have anything like that?
Like
Ninja Turtles or something retarded like that?
I guess it was just
my Harry Potter.
My ethnicity, that was like an obsession.
Oh, that's what it's like to be racinated.
Yeah. Yeah. You could say that. I think that's correct, actually.
That's what it's like to be racinated. I mean, to be honest, I did have a sort of, I don't know what you would call that, like a folkish spirit in a sense, because I had this weird fascination with blonde people. And like, I'd always tell, like, I remember once telling my teacher, I wish I could live in a world where there are only blonde people.
Oh boy.
Because I was blonde. And I even wrote a story in maybe first grade or second grade about this idealized world where everyone was blonde. And like, I was so happy because I was blonde hair, blue eyed, like very blonde as a kid. Now it's more like light.
The American
dishwater blonde.
The American, Zog melting pot has rubbed off on you.
Yeah, on my hair.
Your phenotypical displace of your genes.
But I just, oh, I've like felt comfortable around blonde people. Like my best friend was blonde hair, blue eyed like me. And I was just, I created this idealized world where everyone was blonde hair and blue eyed. And so I did have like this weird like racial spirit. And I always had this like mythical connection when I was a kid to Germany because of my grandmother. She was from Germany. It was always this kind of idealized land. But I'm probably more deracinated than you.
I remember going through like some old journals I had to write in for first grade and reading about my demands for the Pope.
Goodness. Recognize the authority of Greece or the bishop of something.
Well, Constantinople. Not so sophisticated like that, but the direct quote was, "Do it the Greek Orthodox way." And I look back and like, damn, it was really fucking based. I wish I could be as based as I was back then.
You know, looking back, like we were destined to be based because of those moments. Because most kids don't kids don't write about stories of an all blonde haired, blue eyed land.
But their parents will say something along the lines for that the liberal equivalent of their woke 8 year olds.
And then, like, no.
I mean, I say it now, and it sounds like woke 8 year old, but for racism.
Yeah, no, it's woke baby. But it's
true. I mean, I have the documents.
Yeah, no, and like, no other kid. You're probably part of the like 0.5% of like 6 year olds that like even cared about that. Like, do it the Greek Orthodox way. We were destined to be based.
Glad I'm here, man. No place else I'd rather be.
Did we talk about technology at all and how I'm getting more incompetent?
We did, but we sort of veered off of that. If you want to come back to it, I think you wanted to say something about like how much worse it's going to be in the future.
Oh, yeah. But like I was thinking about, you know, we have this attempt of VR porn being made. And I'm wondering
what was on your mind.
That's going to be extraordinarily dangerous. Like, what are we going to have? Like, are we going to have...
Dude, the machine is going to coom you.
Yeah, exactly. The machine is going to coom for it. You know, we can't even coom ourselves. We can't even make ourselves coom. The machine has to do it for us.
It'll be required, actually.
Yeah. The government needs to track all your cooms.
State data... Like, there's going to be a new...
Data RAM.
A warehouse in the one in Utah. They're going to build a new one next to it, and it's just going to keep track of everyone's sperm count in real time.
Yeah. This reminds me of an essay I read 6 years ago or so from David Foster Wallace. I think it was like,
Infinite Jizzed.
Yeah, it was essentially that, Infinite Jizzed. It was about the future of pornography or something. It was like a...
Oh, okay.
Or it wasn't an essay, actually. It was a short story. It was like a fictionalized account of like how like sex technology would be in the future. And it was very dystopian. And I think he was very prescient. We're going to have like coup machines for us. We're going to have like a robot women, maybe.
Well, they're going to be better. It's going to be better than women because there won't be any like flaws. And we will hopefully,
but to sound like a
species, realize that, you know, we like imperfection.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very old trope, but I just hope it plays out again in reality because, you know, we need it to. We need that to be realized.
We need to realize that, you know, binary numbers 0 and 1, 0 and 1, 0 and 1 are not the same thing as a natural, organically occurring phenomena like a, you know.
And you
like
can't min-max everything in real life.
Yeah. Min-max. I could Greek max and just drink a whole bunch of olive oil.
You could. Yeah. But you don't, because it's not natural. For you. For you.
And the trajectory of porn is going to be very scary, because it's already accelerated like in the past 5 years, where now it seems like almost one in five girls has an OkCupid.
OnlyFans.
An OnlyFans. And
even worse.
Way worse. And what is that going to mean? Because these girls are like 18, 19 doing degrading and disgusting things, and then they're going to be adults, and then they're going to have, what are their kids going to be like? You know, I'm genuinely afraid.
I don't know if I've told you this before, but I've had this planned out for a while now, that I'm just going to teach my future kids to bully the OnlyFans parents. I'm going to actually like go out of my way to make sure that they make fun of those kids, because, you know, the parents deserve it.
It's like that. Did I ever tell you that one time I saw the porn car?
Yes.
With the porn stickers, yes, all over it? Like, the guy, like,
Pornhub bumper sticker.
He had, like, all of his favorite porn. Actually, it was a woman driving it. This is why I was convinced that she was an OnlyFans content creator or something. A sex worker.
Like an advertisement.
There are all these stickers. There's, like, a Pornhub sticker or a sticker of this porn website, like, on their freaking car.
Yeah. It's really fucking cringe.
I got really upset.
It would upset me too.
It's sad.
I didn't see it IRL, so I can't have that visceral react.
And let's be honest here, like, we've watched porn. That's part of our generation, being raised on the internet. And it's,
but
it's,
here you are just driving, and now,
yeah,
you have to be reminded of your everything.
Shame. And these people wear it like it's
they're
a
proud.
Sign of pride.
This is a humiliation ritual time.
Yeah, and I've also seen Zoomers, kids like 16, 17, they look 16 or 17, with like Pornhub shirts, man.
I hope irony kills pornography. Like, we know that irony can poison media and politics. I hope porn is no exception of this.
Cooming is so primal and intense, I don't know if you can make that ironic. People just want to get, just going to be addicted to it.
We'll see. Whether we like it or not.
I only coom ironically.
Well, no, like what pornography becomes is something that's like primarily ironic, so it doesn't even necessarily have to be sexual or like obscene in the traditional sense. It's just obscene by association. So like, you don't necessarily have to like have porn be like naked people or even like sexualized audio. It could just be like abstract or absurd.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Jews won't let that happen, though, so let's be honest. They're never going to let porn become a useless weapon.
Yeah. Oof. Everyone kind of has, I know this has been said many times, but they're 15 minutes of fame. Like, everyone kind of does. Like, we have our own 15 minutes of fame with this podcast, in a sense. They were doing something better. But it's like weird, like, how people now can like be their own porn stars and broadcast it to
they're
the
internet. They're going to have their 15 minutes of shame.
Yeah. 15 minutes of shame. There we go.
Just kidding. It's going to be the rest of your fucking life.
Yes. It's odd how what we're doing is considered more socially shameful than what they're doing. Yeah, and I've had friends, or former friends, because I don't really hang out with people I used to before I was red pill. They have an OnlyFans, this girl. I don't know if she has different pronouns, so I don't want to misgender her. But that was shocking. And this is a girl I was attracted to, but I was no longer attracted to her after I saw her OnlyFans. You would
that
think
was like a 80s meme. It's like an Xer meme. Like, oh man, the girl I knew from my
high school
youth
is a porn star.
It's now in pornography. How shocking. I don't know how to feel. Now it's just like, what else is new?
Yeah, that happens to like everyone now instead of like a few people like it did back in the day.
It's like, all right, fine. Let's see what it looks like.
Yeah.
All right. Meh.
Obviously, I
dumb bitch.
But it would make me upset and just like, why did I like you? You know, you're supposed to save that for your husband or something. Like, that's such a special thing. You're in such a vulnerable state.
I've been able to find out so much about you without actually having to interact with you. Yeah. And this is on some level, we recognize this as unnatural and it doesn't feel right. It's uncanny. It's an uncanny process, if that makes sense. Like the interaction in and of itself is uncanny, in that you know something's not right. And what isn't right is that there's critical steps missing, from point A to point B in the development of, a relationship. Like, I'm not supposed to know in full, perfect detail what a girl looks like naked until I, you know, develop a relationship with her and share an intimate moment. But I don't have to do that anymore. Nobody does. You just go to OnlyFans, or if she's not even monetizing it on her like fucking Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, just here's my ass. Now you know.
Here my ass, my titty. All that.
Yeah. No, that carnal knowledge, so to speak, is way too accessible. And I think we all inherently recognize that that isn't like normal. And it doesn't feel normal to us. It's like one of those things, you don't actually have to know what or have experienced normal to know that this isn't it.
You know what isn't it is racism.
Nah. Racism is it, Chief.
Yeah, it's funny when I see people using that meme and like someone says something racist online and they reply,
"This ain't it, Chief."
I'm like,
well, "This ain't it, Chief."
Yeah, ain't it, Chief.
That's a yikes from me.
Yeah, that's a yikes. Yikes. Wowie. Why, yo, you know what? Talk like an adult and say, I don't like this. It's stupid. That's not even an adult way to say it.
And then I'll reply with, fuck you, faggot.
Yeah. yeah, that's that. I hate that yikes. And this reminds me of how I saw someone on Twitter talking about how Lil Nas X's performance or whatever the heck it was. I don't even know anything really about it besides what
he put out. We talked about this already. The Satan shoes.
We talked about Satan shoes already?
Yeah, like Lil Nas X and his demon shoes.
I know, but like he did like some performance where he like had sex with a snake or something like
that. Yeah, he's like giving Satan a lap dance in a new music video. And it's like, this is just edge posting for faggots.
Yeah, it's not even edgy though.
Like, it's if this how you feel, I mean.
But I saw someone describe how his performance at whatever was a Grammy or something like that was like revolutionary praxis. Like, you know, Lil Nas X and his music, an utterly commodified form of art and product, is now revolutionary praxis.
Spoiler alert, no, it isn't.
Yeah.
It's quite institutional in its praxis.
It's extraordinarily institutional.
And these people should be institutionalized in a mental hospital forever.
Yeah, it's...
if we're merciful.
I just can't believe how powerful, I guess, neoliberalism is to the point where it's convinced people who are... it convinced people that they're like fighting against the system when they're actually the biggest part of the system.
Religion, man.
Yeah.
I'm Christopher Hitchens.
And well, if you're going to criticize religion, at least do it intelligently like Nietzsche or something. I mean, I know you
might. Nah, if you're going to criticize religion, do it like Hitchens and go get in a fucking car accident and die.
He got cancer, though. He didn't get car accident.
Who am I thinking of?
I have no idea.
Oh, whatever. I don't really mean that anyway. People talk about religion all the time. I just felt like shitting on Hitchens.
Mute it. Yeah, I just mute it. Whenever I was actually sad when Hitchens died because I was kind of a fan of him at that time.
Wow. That's really gay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to. It was pretty gay. And you're right for pointing that out.
But I'm glad you're not gay anymore. You're like, you know,
super
Milo.
Straight. But I Milo is new thing where he's like conversion therapy now or something.
Yeah. You got to go to Milo's therapy ranch in Florida.
Yeah, his therapy ranch. We're gonna pray the gay away.
Today.
Today. Right now. On your knees. With me. Alone.
For several hundred dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a scam.
I don't know his whole gig. Is he actually paying people to, like, make it? What is he doing? Is he
I don't know what he's literally doing, but, you know.
It's probably a scam like anything
therapy
else.
Therapy centers are a place you spend money to go. So I think it's just going to be rent-seeking to actually fug.
Literally rent-seeking because he's seeking money for rent. He needs...
For rent boys.
Yeah, both, yeah.
He's rent boy-seeking.
Let me go search him up. It's very unprofessional to not. Milo Yiannopoulos. How does it make you feel that he has a Greek last name?
You know, it's Medface, right?
What?
His real name is like Hanrahan or something like that.
It says he was born in Athens, Greece.
Yeah, but it's like his family is. Scottish.
Milo Hanrahan is his real name.
Yeah, I think it's the Scottish name that looks like it's Arabic.
His father is half Greek, half Irish. Doesn't say anything about his mom. I wonder why.
Oh, God.
What's his thing now?
Not being gay, allegedly.
He's ex-gay, wants to rehabilitate conversion therapy. And says he's demoted husband to housemate. Oh, yeah. You guys do not sleep in the same bed at all, ever. And, you know, he's just a housemate. Oh, boy. That is yikes for me.
Whatever. You get the picture on that.
I don't want to see a picture of that.
Well, you don't have to, thankfully.
People also search for Ben Shapiro. Ann Coulter, Richard Spencer, Jordan B. Peterson, Gavin McInnes.
Oh my god.
Alex Jones, Candace Owens, Laura Southern, Leslie Jones. I saw her on a commercial recently. So she isn't canceled. You're canceled, Milo.
Nah, Lil Nas X is fucking canceled. If I have anything to say about it. I had a very fortunate coincidence occur in the wake of that event. Where headlines the other day read, Nike is suing Lil Nas X for his satanic sneakers.
And I'm like,
yes. Damn right I am. And I'm going to fucking win, too. I'm going to sue him for every fucking penny he owns. And then some. Because he put my man's name on his demon shoes like he can just get away with that.
Yeah.
Nike
does not support this.
You know, Bible verse or reference from Luke on his shoes. It's like you don't get to talk about him. You don't get to talk about Saint Luke.
So,
and if you do, we're gonna have a problem.
His real name is Lil Nas X Montero Lamar Hill.
He was going to be gay from the start.
He was named after the Mitsubishi Montero.
my God! It's like you get a name like Montero, then. Your parents have basically doomed you to be gay.
His parents divorced when he was 6, and he grew up in a housing project. So I was like wondering if he was like maybe like an upper middle class black, but I guess not. What made him gay?
Just a negra.
Lithia Springs High School, Georgia. Born in 99.
Now he's gonna be fucking broke, because, the one time, like, product and brand actually ended up doing something positive. Perhaps
in
once.
In 2020, 2000, in July 2020, Little Nas X modeled in a trailer video for a new skincare line by Rihanna's Fenty Beautiful. Fuck, I can't speak. Okay, Fenty Beauty. What is that, like fentanyl? Like what?
Straight Fent beauty yeah. products. Inspired by George Floyd.
What is the name behind Fenty?
I don't know. It's just branding. I bet you some
type it drew international acclaim for its diversity. AKA just showing black people wearing makeup.
I guess we really fucking care. Diversity in advertising.
No, that's revolutionary praxis.
Extremely revolutionary praxis. Don't talk to me about praxis until your advertisements have 50% black representation. Yeah.
So apparently there's a rapper named Pastor Troy. Is he like a Christian rapper?
I don't know.
But he was like calling Lil Nas X gay.
Good. I hope it is. Well, this is the thing. Meaning like, and insulting manner.
Like seriously, man, this is being kind of enforced on the black community by Jewish capitalists. This gay culture.
They're trying to make these niggas gay.
They're really trying to make niggas gay. Niggas is gay. Is becoming gay. You know what I mean?
Who's a making niggas gay?
Oh, wow. Wrangler even did some stuff for... Has consistently sold out of Nas X co-branded fashion. So, little Wrangler even did a coat, like a jean for Lil Nas X because of Old Town Road.
Oh, yeah. He's right before the announcement of this, you know, demon thing, he said he's... making music primarily for children as his audience. And
yeah,
little again, children. He's edge posting for children. But, you know,
it's not edge posting, that's the thing. It's not edgy.
He's just trying to be like.
Yeah, he's trying to be, but it's not.
It's like, I see what you're doing here, and you still suck.
But this man is literally product. Like, he's promoted by all the products. Like, Wrangler, Nike. Well, actually, it's not officially by Nike. He would.
He got that. You know screwed over by trying to memes too hard.
Yeah, on Nike.
Don't
do that.
I thought he was gonna. Thought he was gonna own the cons, and well, you got your ass sued.
Well, in communism. A lot of the communist girls that I see, like, on Twitter or, you know, Instagram and stuff, they're very into fashion. You know, fashion is a way to signal. It's like wearing a signifier on your body. Like, therefore, I represent this. And to them, that's what communism is. Literally a fashion. It's like a fashion statement.
Communism is all my favorite brands.
Yeah. Dude, for them, communism is just a brand that's just, like, really cool.
I mean, to be fair, it's got some good aesthetics.
Not their like version of it, though.
Red and yellow, good color.
No, it's not. Very evocative. It's not. Dude, it's the worst color pairing in the world.
What?
I don't know.
Actually believe that, do you?
Well, it's not the worst, but it's not. I don't like it at all.
And yellow. It's powerful.
No, it's not.
I think it is.
Red, white, and black is.
Red makes a lot of things powerful, but red and yellow is still worse. It's like fire.
It's not enough contrast. I don't know.
Perhaps. Do you have a hard time seeing yellows? Are you kind of colorblind?
No, I just don't like how it looks.
Mm.
But
I think you're in the minority in that one.
Yeah, but most communists, it's just product.
This is true.
It's just a product. If they consume it, they will be viewed as unique. You know, consumers.
And having the right opinions.
Yeah.
You have signaled the correct virtues. Congratulations. Enjoy your new aesthetic. Do you want to move on to a different topic?
Yeah. The world's been crazy recently. A lot of violence.
It's true. We've had like a shit ton of shootings, in the past 2 weeks. several different ones. It's questionable which ones still matter and which ones don't. I guess we haven't had enough time has passed yet to determine that. But you know, the memory hole
will happen.
You know, is
there was the, Here's the thing. There was literally a terrorist attack at the Capitol.
Yeah, it was today. It was a Nation of Islam dude
running into people. And you know, that's going to go get memory hold very quickly.
I have to wonder.
I've already memory holed it myself.
To everyone in the National Guard, was it worth it?
Yeah.
Why, are you going to wait for me to say thank you? Don't hold your breath.
Some Latinx shot up an office. Like a, you know, it was an office shooting, like a work office. Like, how, you know, your society is screwed when you have enough mentally ill people that are just like willing to shoot people randomly. I mean, to be fair, in this case of the office shooting, I think he knew the people. But like, what kind of culture and civilization creates people that just like want to just start shooting citizens of their nation? Like, what? There's something terribly wrong here. Has there been anything like this in history before? Were there like Athenians going crazy, just like, oh, I'm going to start?
Because it's been known to while from time to time.
I know, but I feel like now it's a little different, though. It's like people also kind of do it for the recognition, the fame, too.
Yes, as Gavin McGinnis once put it, that school shooters are the rock stars of today.
And like both of them are Jewish.
Really had school shooting because of Corona.
Please, I hate the fucking. They're always disgusting creatures that do the school shootings because you have to be such a piece of shit to do that.
Very true.
You just have to be the worst human being possible because, like, shooting anyone is for no reason is bad, but like kids at school, your classmates, or like that fucking. I don't know if he was MK Ultra, but that guy that did the whole Sandy Hook. No, is that what it's called? The thing in Connecticut or wherever?
Yeah, it was Sandy Hook.
Dude, that dude was a creep, man. And I don't know if he was like FBI MK Ultra or something, but like, dude. Fuck, man, that stuff is.
Man, this nigga thinks Sandy Hook really happened.
Yeah, I mean, might not have. I don't know. I don't do research on it. Maybe it did. It probably did, because there are a lot of weird people in this country.
Yeah.
You'd think that there aren't weird people in this country that, like, they've spent their whole lives playing video games and, like, jerking off to porn. You know, there's not going to be some weird people out there that are going to do weird shit. I mean, come on.
You can take the Baudrillard perspective and say the Sandy Hook shooting never happened.
Yeah.
The Gulf War.
You know what never happened? He went to the university.
You know what never happened?
What?
You coming up with something funny. Oh!
You know what never happened? You being white.
Yeah, he got me.
You know what never happened? Someone saying Benedict Cumberbatch is a good-looking person. Well, actually, no. There are a lot of girls. I know.
Said that, unfortunately.
For some reason, he was on my recommended because I was searching for Milo. And he just looks like an alien, bro, trying to be human. I mean,
thinking about
it's like uncanny today. Valley almost. I don't know what it is. It's not that he's extraordinarily ugly, but there's just something slightly off with maybe his eye placement. I don't know what it is. Yeah, his eye placement. This
Android
is very
moment.
What?
Lloyd moment.
Wade moment.
Angloid.
Oh, angloid. Yeah, like Greekoids are so beautiful.
Yeah.
Can they have Greekoids playing Arabs in films?
Benedict Cumberbatch ass face.
He's from London. Is he full Anglo? Let's see. He's full British.
I mean, that name is about the most British fucking thing you can think of.
Yeah, dude. After leaving Harrow, Cumberbatch took a gap year to volunteer as an English teacher at a Tibetan monastery in Darjeeling, India.
Darjeeling?
That's the name of
like a tea.
What, is there a tea called that? Is there a tea called that?
Yes.
Oh.
So he is full British, huh?
It seems to be.
Yeah.
His grandfather was Henry Carlton Cumberbatch. Batch.
Cumberbatch.
Oh, wait. It says that his grandpa was born and grew up in Smyrna.
Huh. Wait, interesting.
The son of Helene or Helen Gertrude and Henry Arnold Cumberbatch. Oh,
who served? Guess they were just, you know, Brits abroad.
Yeah, civilizing the Greeks.
Benedict Cumberbatch's grandfather started the Smyrna fire. My new conspiracy theory.
Oh, dude, yeah. And what, you know, I read these new names for like these formerly Greek cities, and they're just ugly. Like, this is an ugly language, Turkish.
Yeah, it's because it's not made by real people. It's made by a subspecies of hominid.
Yeah.
That
that's even a little. Most
of its DNA shared with the cockroach.
Like Izmir. Like what? What in earth? What on earth? And the logo says Izmir, Boyuku Kakashir, beloved of the Yeliyasi. Like what in the? What?
Like the capital city, Ankara. It used to be Angura.
They had to make it more retarded.
Yeah. It's like.
Like Istanbul is one ugly name. As is Turkey.
It also comes from, you know, just a bastardization of a Greek phrase, as you know.
What was the Greek phrase?
Istanbuli, to the city.
Ah, oh yes. Yes, I did. I learned that at one point, but I forgot it. Oh, God. Ugh. One of the guys.
It's like, you know, that's how retarded this language is. You can't even.
The vice president is called Fuat Oktay. Like, what kind of name is that? Fuat?
What the fuck are you talking
about?
Yeah.
Like, we could talk about linguistic things again. Like, what's the ugliest language besides Turkish? Besides Turkish?
Hebrew. Hebrew's pretty fucking, like, harsh on the ears.
Yeah. All of those.
Yeah. What else? Like Vietnamese?
Oh, dude. Yeah, 100% Vietnamese.
That shit's jarring. I don't know how the fuck people communicated by doing like this, like, a duck with hiccups.
Yeah,
it's a weird one.
That is an absurdly weird language. And when they try to speak English and they're fresh off the boat, it's incomprehensible.
Yeah,
it like Chinese, like yeah, it's tonal and all that, but like they could still make themselves more comprehensible than the Vietnamese. They speak with like, you know, very. Short bursts of duck sounds. Short bursts of duck sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There was a time where I didn't like Russian. I wouldn't say it was my least favorite, but I just didn't like how it sounded. And French too, but I've grown used to French just because I've heard it so much. I think Greek sounds better than Spanish. But they're very similar in phonology.
They are very similar, yes.
Yeah, but it sounds better than Spanish.
Do you think you have that opinion because of
yes
the lisp?
I don't know. Who has the lisp?
Spaniards.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like they're giving.
I just don't like Spanish
because of like, you know, the king's Spanish.
Yeah, but I'm also thinking of the. Spanish of the Aztec peasants as well. That's what I'm mostly thinking of.
Of course.
Which is so horrible.
I should have known. See, I thought you're Spanish as a whole language, not just like, you know, this mongrelized bastardization.
Yeah, I reckon Uzbeki doesn't sound good, even though I don't know what it sounds like. Because, like, who wants to go to Uzbekistan?
German people. There's a lot of
is it really?
Villages in Uzbekistan that are all German.
Well, they're like colonies, though. That's kind of based.
Yeah, right? I don't know why the Germans felt the need back in the day to like go colonize this Asian steppe, but they did. And they're still there today, which is kind of cool, but also really weird, and I don't know why. Like, they didn't really make much money doing this. Like, what industry did you think you were going to get into. I guess just agriculture, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, no, there's a German diaspora in like Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, all across the part of the world.
Yeah. It's because we're God's chosen and we could go wherever we want. Better listen to us. Yeah. I wonder what the weirdest diaspora thing is. Maybe someone in our audience can tell us. Like,
for me, my pet one is the Hmong. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why do I know that these people exist?
Yeah, we talked about that before. Like, why is there?
I'm never gonna get over that.
There's a people called Hmong, and they're here.
Among us.
They're among us.
Among us. Oh God.
I wonder if there's a Swedish diaspora in Nepal or something like that. Something weird. There's got to be some weird something or other. Yeah, Hmong. They're from China. Where are they from? Southern China and Vietnam, Laos, Thailand. It's all those places.
Also Minnesota.
Is it a Sinitic language?
I don't know.
Let me go see. What's their language called? Hmong, right? Yeah. No, it's a part of the Hmongic languages.
Hmong language.
Yeah. Oh boy. Why do we have a Hmong people?
I don't know. Nobody's been able to get a good answer on that.
Like, where do they come from?
Fucking, I don't know. They're mole people. Might as well be.
Oh wow.
Like, you dig a hole deep enough, you find Hmong.
Yeah, that's where it's where you find Hmongs. Do you say the H? Is the H pronounced?
I don't fucking know.
Hmong.
It is whatever we want it to be, because they aren't real.
Hmoob? What is that?
Moob?
Hmoob? Is that their name? And what's RP?
No, you can't put this in the form of a question. You gotta tell me, because you're the one looking at it.
Well, I'm on the Wikipedia article, and it says, the Hmong people, in parentheses it says RPA, Hmoob.
Like, that's how it's pronounced?
It must be. How on earth did we get Hmong from Hmoob?
Fucking Hmoob. Hell if I know. Telling you, mole people. These are mole people. That's why you can spell it that way and pronounce it that way.
There's also the Zhuang people.
Alright, I'll buy it.
There's the Karen people.
Yes, those are from, they live in Burma.
Yeah, the Karens.
I've actually
dated the Karen.
A couple months ago, I was going in like a deep dive, just looking into the different factions, like political factions that exist in Burma.
As one does.
Yeah, it's very interesting, actually. It's like they've got ideological battle royale going over there. It's like ethno-religious ideology of every stripe. They all have their own terrorist cells that, or I guess you could just call them the militias that, you know, wage battles against each other. And that's been going on for basically ever since the British left. Mm. And it's fucking cool.
Oh, there's also the Tay people, spelled T-A-Y. And my favorite.
T-A-I people.
There's the Mon people. It's like mon peuple, my people. In French, mon.
Mon.
Huh?
There's a M-O-N. Ethnic group.
Yeah, called Mon.
I see.
Let's see how it sounds.
Mon.
Mon. That's how it sounds. I listened to the audio. The audience heard it, but you didn't. It's Mon.
They're from Jamaica, Mon. Oh,
you know what? You know, I know we're getting a little schizophrenic here, or just disorganized. That's on me by this schizophrenic. But I do want to hear what Hmong sounds like, the pronunciation. So we will do that. Hmong. Hmong people. They got to have God darn it. Hmoob. Come on, pronounce it for me. Where's the audio clip? Oh my goodness. Whatever. We'll find it.
Just search how to pronounce Hmong.
I know, but I didn't know if that would be too boring for the audience.
You're the one insisting, and I'm curious now if it's Hmoob.
Hmong.
Well, that's the English pronunciation. I want to know how it is in Hmoob. Oh my goodness.
I'm telling you, it's whatever we say it is, because they communicate through pheromones.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's just how mole people work.
Hermong.
They don't have.
Hermong.
Hermong.
Yeah, I someone's got to figure this out. Because I don't even know if it's an actual word. I mean, it's probably a word in our language, but I don't know if that's what they call it. We might just call it that, you know? I don't know. Maybe we call it German Deutsch, you know, etc. But is there anything else you want to talk about?
I had a lot of fun yesterday. Well, today is International Autism Awareness Day.
I forgot about that.
So we wish everyone there out with autism a special day to you. We recognize you and cherish you.
All the autistic elites.
It's a day to celebrate the most powerful race.
Yeah. I mean, autists are so special. They'll just like learn.
Good, man.
They'll just learn Hmong for this for fun.
If they want to.
But there's got to be some white kid somewhere that knows Hmong from his just like being autistic.
Perhaps. If you're out there, drop us a line.
Yeah.
But yesterday was April Fool's Day, and I had a rip-roaring good time just on nobodyhasthe.biz Pleroma. Shit posting and wise cracking. It was good. I had a lot of inspiration for some high effort comedy, and so did a lot of other people, including Antelope Hill Publishing, who released a 200 plus page book by Mencius Moldbug on the Bayesian analysis of Adolf Hitler's homosexuality. I left a review of the book. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But yeah, no, April Fool's Day was a lot of fun this year. Remember last year's April Fool's Day when Matthew Heimbach announced he was a communist?
Oh yeah, but he actually was.
April Fool's, I think.
Hopefully.
Maybe not. Who cares? Did you do anything funny for April Fool's Day?
No, the funny thing I did was I looked at my phone. I'm like, oh, it's April Fool's, and I forgot about it.
What you did was not realize how many more mass shootings had just taken place.
Yeah, fuck.
April Fool's.
Every day's April Fool's. We're all April Fool's.
Like, Rapril Fool's.
Every day is April 1st in the United States and the world. But
worst fucking Groundhog Day experience ever.
Garbage day.
Every day is garbage day.
Yeah,
it's always garbage day. It's always April Fool's Day. It always sucks.
That's not that.
But
bad.
Sometimes we really can find some humor every now and then.
Like listening to this show and us trying to figure out topics.
We just do it.
Yeah, it's pure energy, and you guys accept it, and you guys still listen to it. So, but I don't have anything else to say. We've got about an hour. We clocked in our time.
All right.
And we also got like 30 minutes that we recorded earlier with the comments. So, God, that was so long. Yeah. Gosh. Anyways, my name is Anglo, and with me I have Nike.
Thank you for listening.
Have a fun
Autism Awareness Day
month, because we're going to make it a month this time.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's not just a day this time. It's going to be a month. Next time it's going to be a year. And next time it's going to be the eternity of time.
Autistic every month.
Autistic time. So see y'all.